We're starting a new series today called Christianity 101. We're revisiting a series I did several years ago, particularly for those who are new in the faith and need just to understand the basics of Christianity and the Christian life. But this is also good for those who've been Christians for many years and just need to revisit the basics of the Christian life. I hope that God will bless you as you listen to this sermon entitled God's Purpose for Your Life. The successful coaches are the ones that stress the fundamentals. We all need to get back to the fundamentals sometimes. We need to go back and see what it's all about. And in this series, Christianity 101, we're going to go back and we're going to look at the Christian life, and we're going to see exactly what God has to say to us and what it's all about. It will be beneficial to those of you that are young believers, as well as those of you who have been believers for many years. It, I believe, will do us all good to go back to the basics and understand what God intends for our lives. In this class of Christianity 101, we'll be looking at the subjects God's purpose for your life, God's plan for your life, God's power for your life, God's perspective for your life, God's pattern for your life, God's purity for your life, and God's prize for your life. I think it will give us an opportunity to, again, see an overall perspective of what God desires from you and I as His children and what He has promised to do for us. Today, we're starting with God's purpose for your life. Have you ever wondered, why did God place me here on planet Earth, right now? Why was I born here in this country, in this century, and not at some other time in some other country? Have you ever asked yourself, what does God have as a purpose for my life? What is life really all about? What is my reason for living? It's got to be more than just going to work and coming home and eating supper and watching a little TV and going to bed and getting up and going to work and coming home and eating supper and watching a little TV and going to bed and getting up and going to work and coming home and eating supper. It's got to be more than that rat race. Why am I here? Why has God placed me here? What is His purpose for my life? Or do you ever find yourself kind of going through life with a sense of aimlessness, with a sense of frustration, just existing, with that sense of emptiness, thinking there must be more to life than what I'm experiencing? Well, today I want to give you God's answer to those questions. God's purpose for your life is for you to glorify Him. Now, glory carries the idea of a good opinion, to honor, to praise, to exalt. So to glorify God means that you live in such a way that causes people to honor God, to praise God, to exalt God. You live in a way that causes people to think well of God, to have a high opinion of Him. That's what it means. That you live your life in such a way that when people look at you and the way you're living, they think, man, what a great God they serve. What a great God they have. Look at how they're living. This is God's ultimate purpose for your life. That's why He placed you here on this earth. Now, some of you might think, well, He placed me here so He could save me. No. He placed you here so he could save you, so he could leave you here so you could glorify him. If his whole purpose was just to save you, then guess what? As soon as you got saved, you'd die. But he keeps us here after he saved us so that we might glorify him. So that we might live in a way that causes people to have a high opinion of our God. In fact, God's glory is the purpose for all of creation. As we see over in Colossians chapter 1, Paul in this section of Colossians is given the greatest Christology that we have in all of the Bible. In these verses, in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul speaks eloquently and writes eloquently of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this section, at the very beginning, he tells us the purpose for all of creation, as we see it listed there in verse 16. He says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." What's Paul saying in this one verse? It is rich with truth. First, he's saying in him, meaning in reference to Jesus, that Jesus is the mainspring of all that there is of all of creation. He is the very cause. It all was created in reference to him. The idea for creation originated with him, in him, in reference to him. He is the center of all things. And through him, he is the agent of creation. And then for him, for his glory and purpose. All things were created for the glory of God. Now, some people might think, well, isn't that kind of egotistical for God to create all things for his glory? Well, let me ask you this. Is it wrong for people to praise Michelangelo for his paintings on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? Is it wrong for people to give honor and praise to Michelangelo for his painting of the Last Supper? Is it wrong for someone to give praise to the artist for his art? No. It's righteous. He created it. It would be ridiculous to praise the painting. You would go back to the author and say, man, he did a great work. He did a great job. This is wonderful. It is absolutely righteous for God to receive the glory because he is the creator. Because he is the artist behind all of creation and its beauty. Paul says this same thing in Romans chapter 11 when he says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen." God's glory is the sum purpose of all things. All things are called to give him glory. You and I are to glorify God in every aspect of our life. This is taught throughout Scripture. Scripture is filled over and over again with this truth that we are here to glorify God. For instance, we are to glorify God in our everyday living, in our reference to the world. Jesus over in Matthew 5 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and do what? Praise you? No. Glorify your Father who is in heaven." You and I are to serve God in such a way that it causes people to have a high opinion of him. It causes people to honor Him. It causes people to glorify Him. When we walk before the people of the world, we should walk in a way that they can see our life, they can see the good works of our life, and bring glory to God. In reference to our own body, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Christ has purchased us with His precious blood. Your body's not your own. It's His. And therefore, everything you and I do in this body is for His glory, to make people think well of Him. Where we go, what we say, what we do should be done to His glory. How we use this body, to His glory. In reference to everyday living, Paul told the church at Corinth in chapter 10, and he was speaking in reference to whether to Christian liberties, what to eat and what not to eat. He says, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to your own pleasure." Do it all to the glory of God. Even something as mundane as eating and drinking, whatever you do, should be done to make people think well of God, to have a high opinion of God. Nothing, no matter how inconsequential it might appear to us, has any purpose other than to bring glory to God. In reference to our salvation, God's primary purpose for saving us is not to get us to heaven, but to bring glory to Himself. In the book of Ephesians, we see this. In chapter 1, we read, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory." The praise of His glory. That all would glorify Him and praise Him because He saved us. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, "In Him you also, having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." He saved us. He sealed us. He will bring us to heaven for the purpose of His glory, to the praise of His glory. As we look in reference to our spiritual growth, our growing into Christ's likeness, the purpose is to glorify God. Paul says in Philippians 1, "So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ." For what purpose? To the glory and praise of God. Paul is praying for these Christians that they would understand and know what indeed is excellent, so that they might walk in these things that are excellent, and therefore prove themselves to be blameless and sincere, having a life filled with righteousness. For what purpose? That people would look at them and think, "Man, they're a great person." No. To the glory and praise of God. Your spiritual growth is primarily to bring people to the point of praising and honoring and glorifying your God. Paul says it again over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm praying that God will do that work in you, that work of goodness, and he will fulfill your desire to walk righteously and holy before God, so that with the purpose that the name, the person of Jesus will be glorified in you. And then in reference to our Christian service, Peter talks about this when he says, whoever speaks, he is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that with the purpose that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we exercise our spiritual gifts, and the body is built up, and God ministers through us, it is to the ultimate purpose and goal that God may be glorified. That people would have a high opinion of our God, would speak well of our God, would bring him honor and praise. Every aspect of our life, no matter how small it might be, no matter how insignificant it might appear to us, is to be done for the primary purpose of bringing glory to God. Jesus understood this truth. The ultimate purpose of his life was to bring glory to God. He came to save us from our sins. He came to give a visible expression of the invisible God. He came to die on the cross and be punished for our sins. He came to defeat the devil through his resurrection. But his primary purpose was to bring glory to God. In John 17, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is anticipating his upcoming crucifixion and his death. And we look into his heart as he is praying to his Father in heaven. And he says there in John 17, Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, what's on his heart right before he dies? What is the thing that's consuming him, his thought, his concern, as he's about to bear the sins and the guilt of his people for all times? It's the glory of God. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Father, I'm about to become sin. I have known no sin, but I'm about to become sin on behalf of those you've given me. I'm about to go to the cross and be beaten, humiliated, slandered, reviled, murdered. But glorify me that I might glorify you. Your glory is what I desire more than anything. And then we read in verse 4, Jesus says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Everything Jesus did on earth, his purpose was to bring glory to God. When he healed the sick, when he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, when he cleansed the temple, it was all for primary purpose of bringing glory to the Father. All that you've given me to do, he says, I've accomplished it. And the purpose was your glory. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus understood. Jesus lived ultimately for the glory of his Father. Be glorified. Paul understood this truth as well. Paul was in prison. He didn't know if he was going to be released or not. He didn't know what awaited him. He might be freed, but then again, he might be killed. But the only thing he was certain of is that he would not be put to shame. that he would not be disappointed in God's divine way. Whatever God planned for his life, he knew he would not be disappointed. And so he writes to the Christians in Philippi. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now, Paul is saying, I know that you're praying for me. I know my life is in God's hands. And I know that he's going to deliver me from this situation, from this imprisonment. Now, Paul didn't know how he was going to deliver him. It might be the prison doors would fly open. It might be that he would die. But either way, he'd be delivered. And he goes on to say, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul is saying, whether I live or die, that's immaterial. The only thing that matters is that whether I live or whether I die, Christ is exalted in me. Paul knew his purpose for existence was to bring glory to God. And so he said, whether I live or whether I die, just as long as God is glorified, and I am confident of this, he will be glorified in my life. So Paul understood this truth. Jesus understood this truth. Do you? Do you understand that God's primary purpose for your life is that you would glorify him? If you understand that glorifying God is the primary purpose of your life, it will, first of all, bring perspective to your life. The ultimate perspective, I might add. The ultimate purpose that God has for our life is that guiding star for our life, that reference point. You're familiar with the North Star. Back before the days of GPS and magnetic compasses, travelers both on land and sea used to find their way by the North Star. This is the one star in all of the sky that stays constant in its position. The other stars move around depending on the time of the year, depending on the time of the night, but the North Star is constant. Therefore, travelers can find their way by looking at the North Star and moving in reference to the North Star. If the North Star is in front of them, they're traveling north. If the North Star is to their back, they're traveling south, right? If it's to the left or the right, they know which way they're going. And so they have found their direction through looking at the North Star. But guess what would happen if they stopped looking? They would get off course. They would wander a different direction. They would get lost. Glorifying God is your North Star for your life. Everything else in your life must be seen in reference to God's glory. That's what you must continue to keep your eye on if you're going to stay on course. Just as the traveler had to continually look up to make sure he was traveling in the right direction because he wanted to be in the right reference to the North Star, you need to keep looking at God's glory and make sure your life is on track. As a husband, I need to be seen. Am I glorifying God in the way I live as a husband? Right? That's my reference point. As a father, am I being a father in the way that glorifies God? That's my reference point. I got to keep looking. As a mother, as a wife, are you living in a way that brings glory to God? That's your reference point. In your job, are you doing your job in a way that brings glory to God? Do people think more highly of your God by the way you work? That's your reference point right there. As a child, as a parent, am I living in a way that brings glory to God? So everything in life, we've got to look at it in reference to this North Star, the glory of God. Am I conducting myself? Am I living in a way? In adversities. Are you living in your adversity, in your hardship, in a way that brings glory to God? You got to stop. You got to look. You got to make a reference point. Am I glorifying God in this? And you know what happens when we don't look at that reference point, when we don't keep that before us? We get off track. You know how you can tell you're off track? Because you get this sense of frustration. You get this sense of aimlessness. You get this sense of just traveling through life, just being caught up in the rat race. That's what happens. You get this sense of emptiness because God created you to bring glory to Him. That is your ultimate purpose. Therefore, that is your ultimate source of contentment and satisfaction. And when you're not doing that, you have this uneasiness. You get this sense of aimlessness. And I've seen it in my own life. When I just sense, you know, things just don't, I just seem to be wandering. And that's a red light flashing saying you need to look at the reference point. You've taken your eyes off the North Star, which is glorifying God. You need to get back and say, my purpose for existence is to bring glory to God. So bringing glory to God gives you the right perspective, first of all. Secondly, it brings peace and contentment. You will never know peace until you come to the point that God's glory is the greatest desire of your life. When you desire to live for His glory and only His glory, you will have a sense of peace and contentment that passes understanding. Now, how is that? I'm in this job and I'm thinking, well, you know, they're going to be doing layoffs at work and I may lose my job. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to get me kind of tied up on the inside. I'm going to start worrying. I'm going to start getting upset. And then I look at my reference point and say, now, wait a minute. I have my ultimate purpose is glorifying God, not this job. It's just a means to an end. Now, so God, whether I keep this job or whether I lose this job, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is I want to glorify You. So then you can sit back and say, okay, God, whatever will bring You the most glory, that's what I want. If it's losing this job, so be it. It'll bring You more glory. And that's my main desire. That's my main purpose. You see, that thing you're worrying about, you're worrying and fretting about it because you're thinking it's not going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. That's why it's bothering you. It's not going to come out like you want it to. But if you can sit back and say, God, I just want Your glory. And you can handle what's going to happen here. You're in control. And whatever will bring You the most glory is what I desire. You got peace. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's God's business now. And you're willing to fall on your face. You're willing to lose whatever you might need to lose if He'll be glorified in it. That's your ultimate desire. That's your ultimate goal. You take this reference point, you think the glory of God, and you put it against everything. God, it may come back cancer. But that's all right. If that will bring You more glory, God, then bring it on. Because my only reason for living is to glorify You. And you know how I can best glorify You in this body. And if it's sickness, if it's cancer, if it's a loss of a job, if it's some hardship, that's okay. That's okay. Because I want Your glory. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose for being on this planet. Your glory and Your glory alone. James Williams was a slave in Alabama in antebellum times. And he was being tremendously mistreated, and so he escaped. And he ran away, and he managed to get some distance away from the plantation. And he was traveling on a road and he heard the hound dogs barking and he ran into the woods. And it was night and he lost his way. And finally he got so tired from running he just had to stop and he fell asleep. And when he woke up again, it was night. And he used nighttime to travel and daytime to rest. And so he began finding his way through the woods. So he got turned around and finally he came back to a road and he said, "This must have been the road that I ran off of when I heard the hound dogs." And so he started traveling on that road. It was raining. It was dark. And he said for 4 days, he couldn't see any stars. He just kept traveling. And then on the fifth night, he said, the clouds parted. And he looked up to find the North Star. And it was shining on his back. And he realized he'd been traveling south for 4 days, away from freedom that he could find up north. It just devastated him to think all the while he thought he was traveling toward freedom and he was just traveling more and more into slavery and into the darkness. But he pulled himself together and he turned around and he headed back north. And he eventually made it to freedom, keeping his eye on that North Star. Sometimes we allow the clouds of ambition, the clouds of materialism, the clouds of selfishness to block the North Star of our life. And when the clouds break, we need to look up and see if we're going in the right direction. Sometimes we think we're going toward freedom, but because we've been clouded by ambition and pride and materialism, we're actually just going deeper into slavery until we can see the North Star of glorifying God and then change our direction and head north for His glory. What about your life? How long has it been since you've looked at the North Star? How long has it been since you've checked your direction and how you're traveling? Are you traveling for the glory of God? Is that the purpose of your life? Let me challenge you. Let me encourage you to take time this week to look at the North Star and see if you're living in reference to God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you to reveal to us if we've gotten off your path for us, if we're living for our own satisfaction, our own selfish desires, rather than for your glory. For we know true purpose, true satisfaction, true contentment will never be ours apart from your glory. And our desire for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The first step for living for the glory of God is to come to Christ in faith and be saved. To glorify God, you need to have Christ within you. You need to have Him as your Savior and Lord. Will you come today, casting yourself upon His mercy, acknowledging you can do nothing to save yourself, but He's done everything necessary through His perfect life, through His death on the cross, as He took your place, died for you, came alive from the dead, and He is at the right hand of the Father now. Will you come and throw yourself upon His mercy, saying, "Lord, I'm willing to turn away from anything in my life that's not pleasing to you." That's repentance. Now, you can't turn away on your own, but be willing. And then ask Him into your life as your Lord, surrendering your will to His will, trusting Him as your Savior. And He'll come in and He'll give you the power to live the life to His glory. And you can find purpose as you've never known it before. The purpose for which you were created, His glory.